Hi, it's Noor Haidar, one of the hosts of The Guardian's daily news podcast, Full Story. Every weekday, we bring you a single story, going beyond the headlines and taking you closer to The Guardian's journalism. Combining personal storytelling with analysis, we take you inside the stories that matter most. For fearless, independent reporting that holds power to account, listen to Full Story from The Guardian, wherever you get your podcasts.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
When it comes to the implications of that war in the Middle East, there has been a big conversation in Australia about whether natural gas exports should be subject to higher taxes. Was it a formal condition of Australia's deal with Japan to get more fuel supplies that Australia would not increase taxes on gas?
Well, I think, this issue is a quite complex and difficult one to understand. But let me first talk about this petrol resource rent tax issues that some people are raising, that it is smaller than the beer excise taxes here. And I think that really kind of a misunderstanding. I think the PRRT is meant for inducing more investment to Australia, provided by the Australia government initially creating large-scale LNG the project. In order to do so, because it involves a heavy upfront investment, and there's a huge commercial risk. So because of that, PRRT was introduced. So at the initial stage, all those investors, the gas industry, do not have to pay a lot of tax. It's a very small amount of tax. But when the gas production starts regularly, they will be paying increasing amount of tax. It goes this way. So, and then in Australia, many of the gas projects started during the 2010s. So it's only about 10, 20, 15 years project now. So what the people, many people criticizing about this tax policy or the tax is that it's just like you have to judge the 30 years or 40 years project, but you are just judging something just after the 10 years. So that's how the all those resource companies are not paying a lot of taxes. But they are also, other than the PRRT, they are paying the company taxes, state royalty taxes, and other, taxes mechanisms. So companies themselves are paying a lot of taxes already. But I think just, targeting on the PRRT and then insisting that the gas companies, including the Japanese companies, not really paying the enough taxes is really the wrong perception.
I think, though, and understanding that broader and, as you say, complex system, my question was, when Australia asked Japan for additional fuel supplies, were those supplies contingent on Australia not increasing gas taxes?
Well,
also the expectation that contracts wouldn't change.
Well, I think it's a bit different issues. First, that because of the Strait of Hormuz and the Middle East situation, and many countries globally are facing with big supply chain issues for the oil. So, and then we've been talking very closely between Japan and Australia, and then we've been supporting Australia's energy supply, both government and industry. For example, company like Inpex has facilitated large amount of condensate which was supposed to be exported from Australia to be shifted back to East Coast for the use of the petrol, and the diesel, and the jet fuel. So there's a, you know, quite facing, this is a big challenge, both Australia and Japan, all those energy issues. So we are cooperating very closely at the moment, and both industry and the Japanese government. And then this tax issue is a completely different issue, and it is being conducted at the parliament, and at the moment I realize, and I understand, that there's no tax, windfall tax or whatever, it's been discussed, or I mean, or will be delivered at the parliament. And I really hope that there should be no surprise to the investors in general, and also to the Japanese investor, so that there will be predictability and the transparency and the long-term stable investment for big projects like LNGs on or the natural, you know, the resources sector.
So over the life of these projects and the contracts that have already been signed, you would hope that there's no change?
Well, we hope most important things for the, you know, the big project is that there should be a predictability and no surprise. If there's a change, of course, this is the Australian policy, Australian domestic market that is under the discussion. So the Australian to decide policy. But if there's a policy change, I think the industries, the Japanese companies included, should be involved with the stakeholder discussion, so that there will be exchange of views and good communication, so that there will be no surprise.
What do you mean by no surprise? So do you mean a period of time would have to elapse, or can you give me any clearer indication of the expectation?
Well, the surprise is surprise that, you know, I mean, if there's any policy announcement without any knowledge by the investors, that is a surprise. But if there's a, before the public announcement, there's a very close communication, the intention of the government, this and that, and then there will be a way that those anxiety will be assuaged, then, you know, that would be better. So I'm hoping the Australian government to do something like that.
So, Ambassador, just briefly, we did have a big Chinese car maker, BYD, have a huge ship come into Sydney Harbour in the last week, selling for the first time more cars into Australia than Japan. What kind of issues does that pose for Japan's export industry?
Well, I think, Chinese EVs are very competitive, so there are, I'm sure that's quite popular in Australia. And also today, the Japanese automobile makers are also giving a lot of investment to produce EVs too. So I hope there will be, just like there will be a big opportunity for the Australian consumers to have a Chinese EV. But I really hope that Japan will compete with the Chinese to have also the good opportunity for the Australia consumers to have Japanese EVs here.
Okay, so you think it will be competitive?
Well, I think we should be competitive, yes.
And just in terms of Australia's social media ban for under 16s, I understand Japan has been looking at that proposal or that kind of a policy. Do you think Japan may well take on a similar approach?
Well, I think Australia's government decision is really a epoch-making one, and there's a lot of interest among the many countries, including Japan. But this issue is the issues related to, the freedom of on one side, it is the issues of the freedom of speech and freedom of expression, and on the other side, it is the, you know, preserving the public interest, particularly the protection of children. So this is a very delicate balancing issues between those two very important rules. And then I'm sure that many countries are really deliberating very closely intensely about what should be the best solution for these issues. And then Japan is one of those countries, and we are very much interested in learning from Australia's experience.
And finally, both of our nations have teams in the Football World Cup. The Samurai Blue are looking pretty good. What do you assess their chances of getting through the group stage?
Well, I hope that Samurai Blue will win and they go for the final. If we're not, then we have a Rugby World Cup next year here, and then we will win.
There's always another. Oh, that's a big call too. Well, we really appreciate your time.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Hi, it's Noor Haidar, one of the hosts of The Guardian's daily news podcast, Full Story. Every weekday, we bring you a single story, going beyond the headlines and taking you closer to The Guardian's journalism. Combining personal storytelling with analysis, we take you inside the stories that matter most. For fearless, independent reporting that holds power to account, listen to Full Story from The Guardian, wherever you get your podcasts.